welcome to another episode of Unearthing Paranormalcy, the podcast where we dig into the paranormal and try to find normalcy in the topic. I'm Amy.
I'm Dave.
I'm Chad.
And I'm Eli.
And this week we're coming at you with different types of spirit communication. I know you see on TV and all this stuff, all these different weird things people use. So we're going to kind of dig into a little bit of the history on some of those things, some of the science behind them, things of that nature. So we're going to start off with the classic, the seance. Now, I know I performed many a seances in my youth.
Yep.
So, Eli, why don't you tell us what we did wrong?
All right, seances. I'm going to go ahead and give you the actual definition of a seance for people who may not know. A seance is an attempt to communicate with spirits. The word seance comes from the French word session, from the old French seur, to sit. The popularity of seances grew dramatically in the founding of the religion of spiritualism in the mid-19th century. At the core of the practice of holding a seance is our two beliefs. First, that there exists a spiritual world or an afterlife, and second, that it is possible to contact spirits in the world through a medium. Seances are frequently attended by people who wish to contact a loved one that has recently passed. For many, their experiences at a seance provide a comforting knowledge that their loved ones have not ceased to exist, that there is an afterlife, and there is a possibility of being reunited with those who have been lost. For me, in this situation, I wouldn't label myself as an atheist, but more of like a spiritual person, because I do believe in spiritual aspects of life and how it's surrounded by energy and whatnot. And that is comforting because I know that I have expressed, or not expressed, but experienced the visitation, or I wouldn't say visions, of, but dreams that had to have been inspired by something that was either around me or it touched me, yeah. You know?
So where did it touch you? It touched you in the no-no square?
Not in the no-no square.
Okay.
Well, see,
the yes-yes square?
In the yes. It was the shoulder, okay? It was the shoulder. You didn't touch me on the knee. It was the shoulder.
I feel like dreams are the easiest way for spirits to communicate with us because we're not tuning them out.
Yeah.
Just naturally, you know? We're completely in the subconscious and we are, our conscious mind isn't interrupting. Yeah. Because during the day, you might hear something in your head and you blow it off as a thought or you know, something like that. When it maybe have actually been a spirit trying to communicate.
I've had some very weird, vivid dreams that I swear had to have come from like our father who passed away because I was having I was having a tough time dealing with his death. And about a year later, I had a dream about like digging a hole, which something we had dug a septic tank. So it was like redigging that. But at the end, it ended up being his grave. And it actually gave me like a peace, mm-hmm. like a comforting thing. It was demented and I woke up freaking out. But I actually felt a calming sensation afterwards. So
I've had lots of mm-hmm. dreams like that. And one in particular that gave me that sense of peace was when we had a 3-year-old nephew die in a car accident. And
we're just surrounded by death.
We are. And it hit me hard and it hit deep. And, you know, I cried for days. And then I had this dream that he came to me and I picked him up and I ran into the bathroom at work and shut and locked the door in the bathroom at work and just sat and held him and rocked him. And at the end of the dream, he looks up at me and says, "Aunt Amy, it's okay. I have to go, but it'll be okay." And that was like the most relief that I had from the whole event was after that dream. So,
well, it could be more so, like especially like when you're talking about how it's easier to have those visitations during dreams is because your mind's not like active. I mean, it's active, but it's not actively... It's not actively processing anything.
Yeah.
It's not looking for answers. It's just letting things flow.
Yeah. Could it be more like an astral plane as well for you to actually, not so much astral project yourself, but kind of have like an out of body experience with that too. Cause that's my experience is like when my dad shortly passed away, it was an out of body experience kind of where I slept for almost 28 hours straight. And there are sessions of that sleep that I can vividly remember where it did not feel like a dream. Yeah. And it felt like it literally felt like an interaction that lasted hours. And I know it didn't last hours, but
yeah.
So we're going to move on to the setting of an actual seance. Most seances are conducted in a dimly lit room with three or more people seated around a table.
Bow, chicka, wow, wow.
It's not an orgy.
Damn.
The seance is led by a medium who attempts to lead the group in communications with the spirit world. Mediums may go into a trance-like state in an attempt to allow a spirit to take control of their body and speak through them, a process known as channeling. The concept of channeling is different from that of a possession, which is considered to be the complete non-consensual takeover of a living being by a spirit of a demon and is usually determined detrimental to the victim. So when I was reading that part, I've never been a part of a seance. Not because I'm afraid to, but...
One of us. Oh.
Not because I'm afraid to, but I do have weird feelings like... So, hence, this is one of the situations in my head. So we watched a movie called The Nun the other day, right? Well, I was the one who was like, let's watch the movie Nun, right?
10 minutes after it started, we shouldn't have watched this.
Okay. I'm a complete puss, and I know this now. I've always known this. I'm the, oh, hell no, he gonna kill you. Like, run, bitch, run. Like, that's me in a theater during a scary movie. I'm that person. Okay? Chad can tell you from experience. So my belief is that if I ever do a seance, I'm going to be touched or possessed by something I don't want to touch or possess me.
The seances I have been a part of were middle school, high school, young adult seances.
You're wicked in life.
Yes. And
wicked.
I'm going to tell you that we never really had anything happen at a seance. Now, there was a time or two we brought in the Luigi board.
The Luigi board.
I love that.
It's the Waluigi board.
And we had instances there. But in the seances, what I think at one time we tried to contact, it was right after JFK's plane went down and we were trying to, or JFK Jr.'s plane went down and they were still searching for it. And so we were trying to contact JFK Jr. to find out where his plane was. Now,
did it work?
No, we didn't get shit.
Did you get contacted or touched by Cthulhu?
No.
Oh, that would
really
be
had nothing happen. So then we went to like Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board, and you know that type of stuff. So our seances per se never really went anywhere, but it, you know, we had fun doing it. That's why I said, tell us what we did wrong. Did we not have enough candles?
You didn't have a medium.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
I hadn't developed my
step
skill
one
yet.
Medium.
Step two, rare. Step three, medium rare.
And then step four is a darkly lit room.
You guys thought that step there, right? Four was profit.
Oh, wait, that's Cards versus Humanity. Sorry.
No, we always had the lights off and we always had candles burning during seances. Yeah. But
I remember doing one with you and a couple of your friends. And everyone started freaking out because they thought the picture on the wall was changing.
That was kind of creepy. That was, yeah, like the picture on the wall, it went like black. And we
to you guys,
it.
To me, it didn't.
Well, we were talking a lot of middle school girls. So when we go back to like our poltergeist episode, when we talked about how girls at that age can affect things, that very much could have been that.
I just
so
know,
are you
I
saying would, that women are more powerful witches than men are?
In their menstrual cycle, yes.
During puberty and the change of life, yes.
Oh, I thought you said bitches. Sorry. My bad. Witches, yeah.
Got them, coach.
Oh,
oh my god.
Oh, I got burned.
So you're saying that I have to bleed for a week?
Yeah.
Every month in order to gain a power as powerful as yours.
Do you want it?
No.
Because I will totally give it away.
Be like, Chad, I'm menstruating.
I remember that one of the seances with your friends and everything with the picture. Then like I wanted to go to the bathroom and you guys wouldn't let me go alone. And I'm like,
I don't remember.
I was like
that.
Half your age, and one of your friends like followed me to the bathroom, and I was like, "I'm trying to pee."
she just wanted to pee.
Yeah, at like a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old.
No, you would have been.
It would have been 8, maybe.
Yeah,
7
maybe
or 8.
8, 9.
That doesn't make it any better.
No, it doesn't.
Dave's like, no.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no answers for that, Chad.
But I just remember, like, all the girls freaking out. I'm just like, I don't get it. I'm going to go play in 64.
He blocked it from his subconscious. It's locked away.
I got touched. No.
He got touched by a teenage girl. Every preteen boy's fantasy, right?
Yes.
All right, so.
Continue with seances.
Let's go back to seances.
All right. The most commonly reported physical manifestations of channeling are an unusual vocal pattern or uncharacteristic physical behavior by the medium. So if you start talking like this and start doing the robot, I'll know something's wrong.
Welcome to Unearthing Paranormalcy. My name is Amy.
I sounded like Forrest Gump there. Life is a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get next.
Speaking of that.
Bush? Sound like George W.
George W. Fool me once, shame on you.
All right.
You.
Al-Qaeda, Katrina, we're going to find you.
We're going to get you evildoers.
10110.
We're political again. Okay, let's get back to the dead.
Okay. Both of which, skeptics point out, are easily faked. In addition to channeling, a medium may ask spirits to answer questions with a sign. Invocations of positive energy may be made at the beginning of seances. Unbelievers and skeptics are often discouraged from participating because of the negative effects their energy has on the success of a session. I'm probably going to be one of those guys. Not so much the unbeliever part, but the negative energy, because I already have... like what I think is going to happen, that's probably negative. And that's why when I read that, I was like, that's immediately why I should not do a seance, is because I already feel like I would accidentally bring negative energy into it.
But that's what makes it fun.
I've never been to a channeler. My mom went to a channeler and
she went to Chandler?
She went to Chandler, Oklahoma, you know. No, went to a channeler. And she didn't like it. She said it was really weird, but she was also there were a bunch of Wiccans, and she just felt uncomfortable. But to me, channeling seems fake. You know, it's too easy to fake. So I would just be spending the whole time sitting there going.
I would be the non-believer in
that
room.
Yeah, I'd be like, show me something. Like, you got to prove to me that this is happening.
Touch me. Oh.
So my problem is that from what I'm picturing what channeling looks like, it almost looks like going to a can't remember what type of part, like what cornerstone of the religion is. Okay, it is Christianity, but whenever they're like, I caught the faith, or I caught the... not apostle. Evangelical. That's exactly what I was looking for. Because I've been to a church, and I remember when I was very, very young, I was like 9 or 10 years old, I went to a church with a friend, and I was Mormon at that time. Shout out. Anyways, I was Mormon at the time, and I just remember these people like catching the spirit. That's what they kept on calling it. And these ladies were running up and down the hallway, screaming and like moving. And then someone had the gift of tongues, and
no, ma'am, that's crabs.
That kind of stuff reminds me of the movie The Crucible.
Yeah.
You know, when the girls are in the courtroom and they just all of a sudden start freaking out, and my boob just pulled the microphone, and. They're like, you know, convulsing on the floor and things like that. That's what that reminds me of.
Yeah.
And we know that that was fake, so.
This just reminds me of all those videos
you see.
It's
a movie.
Well, it was based off the Salem Witch Trials, which we know were fake.
It just reminds me of all those memes you see on, meme videos you see on Facebook. Of like the pastor like using the Bible and like hitting people on the head and they just flop to the ground. It just cracks me up when they have put it with like the Street Fighter sound. Hayuken!
He's like, I saw one too. It was like the power of Christ compels you, and he's like, Hayuken! He's
just like, my favorite ones to watch on YouTube is where they got the snakes.
Yeah,
and then like they'll get bit and they'll be like.
oh shit.
That would be the Pentecostals. Yes.
The ones that said that if God wants to heal me, or if I'm supposed to live, the guy was supposed to heal me, or something like that. Those are the snake deals. There was an actual TV show about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The guy got bit. I think he
did. He died.
He died, yeah.
He definitely died, yeah.
Well, if you get bit by a poisonous snake.
A poisonous.
Now, most of the time a poisonous snake bites you, if it's an adult poisonous snake, it actually will not inject venom, which is how they, quote unquote, survive.
Yeah.
But
the babies don't have a way to...
babies don't control that. And every once in a while, that snake's going to be pissed off enough that it's going to be like, just quit fucking with me.
Yeah.
And then it's going to kill you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Seances.
So now we're going to take from snakes and Christianity, and we're going to go back to the dead.
One of these days we will finish this with seances.
Where it all started. All right. I'm gonna wrap this up real quick. During the 19th century, seances were extremely popular. Participants... might observe a cold breeze on their face, the tilting of a table, the materialization of items from thin air, or musical instruments playing mysteriously. Now, this whole sentence, this whole little part of a paragraph, two words, one lady, Madame Blavatsky.
Yes.
When I read that, I was like, this bitch came beyond the grave. Materialization of objects and piano playing.
Yes.
Because that was part of the book that you read where she made something come through the wall and the piano was like randomly playing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Blavatsky was awesome.
I'm so proud of you for saying
that. I said it right. Yay, Amy!
Okay. Hands of figures would appear to float.
What?
Hands of figures.
Hands. I thought you said hands of figures. And
I thought you said handless figures. And I was like, what?
You said handsome. Like, I was like, no, like, those were the Nordics.
Chad.
Oh my God, it's flipping me off. The handless finger is flipping me off.
Fuck you.
That's probably what ghosts are saying to me all the time.
And participants might feel the cold touch of the touch of a cold hand. Some mediums would use automatic writing, the use of planchettes, similar to the Ouija board, to spell out messages. Spirit slates, where the writing on the slate was apparently done by spirits, or the impression of psychic images onto a photographic plate that had been kept in a sealed enclosure.
I watch magicians do that all the time. That's just called sleight of hand.
Also, they don't say abracadabra, so it's not real. Anyways, so...
I watched Harry Potter. I saw them say it.
That's Avada Kedavra. That's a kill spell, bro. Don't say that in this house, okay?
You just did.
The problem that I have with the last part is, well, first of all, it reminds me of Madame Blavatsky, where you and I determined that some of the things that she did weren't at all
possible.
Yeah,
we
threw the bullshit cards out, right? Mm-hmm. So materializing an object through a wall, that's...
I can't do that.
Yeah. I mean...
Chad's attempting.
He's trying to materialize a woman out of the wall.
I'm going for anything at this point.
So the materialization of objects through through solid walls, that's really hard to believe. It's kind of like one of those things where it's like you believe what you want to believe and that's fine.
Yeah.
But you're always going to have those people who I cannot fathom somebody being like, watch a rock come through that fucking wall. And then it come through the wall, you know? The whole deal where the...
I'm waiting for it.
Exactly. Me too. The whole deal where the plate's like locked away and they do a seance and it's something, the message is mysteriously written on a page.
Yeah.
Like that's another thing where you could have just had like some person... take it out while no one was looking.
I have definitely seen mentalists too, and mentalists, like that's what I think a lot of Madame Blavatsky's stuff was mentalism, and that's, you know, you put the thoughts into somebody's head and make them say it, but they don't realize that you've done that. And
well, as if you're the medium doing these seances, you're controlling where everything goes.
Yeah.
So you can write down all this information on a plate or on a tablet or slate or something like that, and then just make sure your seance as it's going leads into that.
Yeah.
So that way, oh my God, it said Billy was 12 years old.
Like, and there's also the deal where it asks questions. Now, this kind of makes me feel like, what was that show? It was on like daytime television where a guy would come out and be like, I'm thinking of a name.
Oh, John Edwards?
Yeah. That kind of reminds me of John Edwards. And I always thought John Edwards was just literally... What you laughing at, Ben?
I watched an episode of that. And he's like, name starts with M-N-O-P-Q-R-S. It's like, it doesn't work that way.
Now,
Dave, your father's name starts with a A. B? C? D?
C? Yeah.
See, look at that. We got it. It starts with a C. Chris? Christopher? Call it? No, to go through names again.
Now, as a quasi-medium, names are hard. And I think it's because we try to... For me, it's hard because I try to put my own twist on it. So usually, if I'm coming up with a name, I'm going to come up with three or four. They're going to all start with the same letter. Mm-hmm. But it's because I don't know which one is me influencing it and which one is the spirit. And there's one time in particular I can think of. I was doing a reading for my niece. Now, I say my niece. My niece is in her 30s. So I'm not like doing it for like a two-year-old. But I was doing a reading for a niece, and she wanted to talk to her grandmother. And I said, okay, well, is R, Ruth, Ruby, you know, something like that. And she said her name was Ruby. And I said, okay. See, to me, that's something that was shocking because I don't know a single Ruby.
Yeah.
So the fact that name popped into my head was really interesting to me. But when you're just saying M, how many people know somebody whose name starts with M that's passed?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
So is it easy for you to get emotion out? Or, like, situations out more than it is
news. Emotion. Yeah. I definitely am more empathic when it comes to my mediumship, where I'm going to feel what they felt emotionally or sometimes even physically. Like, I had one that I was doing, and apparently this person was really abusive in life, and he started holding me down and, like, pressing me down, and I had to tell him to get away and get off. So, I mean, I felt physical and I felt emotional, but emotion is tends to be how I get my communication more.
Yeah.
So, but then again, I don't 100% trust my own ability. So I'm not going to go out there and charge people to do it because I don't trust it. I feel like I would be scamming somebody because I don't know if it's going to work that day. I don't know, you know, so I'm not that good at it. I don't do it a whole lot. Now, Chad, yours kind of goes along a little bit with the seances because you can use yours in the seances.
Yeah.
But you've got the pendulum.
Yes, the pendulum. A pendulum is normally a weighted object at the end of a string or a chain. It's kind of like you see the old clocks with a pendulum that swings. It's kind of like that. It can be any weighted object. Most commonly, there's some kind of stone or like quartz or something like that. People prefer to use the weight to be a stone that holds or can connect to energy sources. So like quartz or limestone pendulums and stuff like that. There is a redneck on YouTube who uses a fishing weight as his pendulum. Yeah. But you can do whatever you want because all you need is a weighted object. And then what you'll do is you'll lock your shoulder kind of next to your body so you can keep it in place. Hold the pendulum kind of wrap it around your two fingers at least once and let it hang there, and then put your hand underneath it, your other hand underneath it, and then you'll try to communicate with spirits, and you try to get whoever you're speaking, communicating with to create a yes and a no, which are going to be which direction the pendulum swings. Because you're holding it next to your body, it's supposed to help hold the pendulum in place so it doesn't swing without you're not making it swing. So when you hold your hand underneath it, you know, you ask, can you show me your yes answer? And hopefully your pendulum starts to swing, you know, left or right. And then you go, okay, and your no answer. And then you start going up and down. And then you can proceed to ask them yes or no questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you male, female, did you die at a young age? Stuff like that. Some people also create pendulum boards where there'll be, you know, the alphabet on them and then a yes and a no, and they'll hold the pendulum over it and ask questions, and as it spins, you know, it points towards a letter, and that's what they go with. When you do pendulums, you always want to practice and figure out a one that has the right weight and is comfortable for you to use, and you get used to it. Now, there is a couple YouTube videos of people doing this that you can see their hand twitching back and forth. They can do it, and pendulums can be very easily be falsely read.
Yes.
Because they can, you can manipulate it to move directions you want to move. So I don't believe the pendulum thing really works, because it can just be whoever's channeling the pendulum can make it move to whatever they want. But you can buy pendulums online. You can make them yourself. Like I said, this guy, one guy was literally using a fishing wire and a fishing weight as his pendulum.
One thing that's really common that I'm sure a lot of our listeners have heard of or seen is when a woman is pregnant. If you take a string and a wedding ring or a needle or something, you know, basically you make a pendulum and you hold it over the woman's belly. If it swings one way, it's a boy. If it swings the other way, it's a girl.
That didn't work for you.
It did for the first one, but then I got a girl the second time and I had a boy the second time. So yeah, it wasn't very accurate. I have a pendulum and I use my pendulum from time to time, and I have seen my pendulum do some really weird things. I've seen it pull. So where it will actually like pull away from me.
Yeah.
It always does the same thing for yes, no, I don't know, and I'm not going to answer. Those are my four that I have. Those are always the same. But I also feel, and I think this is Dave's take on it too. He can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I think a lot of the pendulum is more of your subconscious communicating what your conscious mind is blocking. So like if you've got a question and you need an answer for it, but you can't think through it, and you want to kind of get down into like what you really need, you use the pendulum and let your subconscious answer it. And then, you know, you've got little muscles in your fingers that will actually move it. You're not consciously moving it,
yeah,
but subconsciously you are. So you're getting your subconscious's response.
So the situation of, I guess what Hollywood would call hypnotizing people, and they use a string and a coin of some sort, technically a pendulum?
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, a pendulum is just going to be an item that swings.
Any weighted item you can hang from a chain or a string.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can make it out of anything you want. Some people, like I said, prefer to do stones. Some people prefer to use a item that belonged to whoever they're trying to connect with. Some people will use like wedding rings or jewelry or something like that. They can put on the end of a string or something. So
yeah.
No, I suppose you'd want to use a non-magnetic metal because that could change your result.
Yeah. Now, there are times that I do feel like mine's being moved by outside forces, like especially when it's being pulled away from me, because as far as I know, there is no way that I can make the chain stiff and pull away. I mean, it just, there's no way I can do that.
Yeah.
And there is sometimes when it's saying it's not going to answer that it goes, because that's, it just stops moving. It'll go stiff and I can't make it move. There's something to it. I don't know what it is per se. I don't know if it's a subconscious thing where 100% of the time where I'm just subconsciously doing it. Because I have seen it do some odd things.
Yeah.
But then again, who knows? It's all different.
Which, you were saying something about using it to communicate with your subconscious. And yeah, I do that. But I anymore nowadays, I don't do it through even holding it. I'll just, like, hang it from something.
Yeah, and they actually make stands for that, pendulum stands, mm-hmm, to put it on the table in front of you and not actually touch it.
Yeah.
I've also noticed that some people can't get a pendulum to swing.
Yeah, I've noticed that too.
People who will hold the pendulum and then it won't actually move on them.
Mm-hmm.
But then it hands it to me and then all of a sudden it just starts swaying. I don't know what causes that either.
Yeah.
Pendulums are interesting things. All right, so we've covered seances. We've covered the pendulum. Now I'm going to take us deeper.
Deeper.
1848. Two sisters, Margaret and Kate Fox, which we did briefly discuss in our Medium episode, contacted the spirit of a dead peddler and became instant celebrities. Soon after that, the United States and Europe were deep into an obsession of communicating with the dead. And this formed modern spiritualism. Now, mediums would use table turning, table tilting, or table tipping as a way to communicate with spirits. They would channel the spirits to give messages to the sitter by resting their fingers on the table and wait for the spirit to communicate. And when the spirit would start communicating, start moving the table and tapping the table, you know, on the on the floor for what letter they were calling out, things of that nature. You know, tap once for yes, twice for no, that kind of a thing. Now, I've been to a medium who was doing table tipping, and Dave was with me. And I love this medium. Cindy, who did our readings for us in our medium episode. Dave, what did you think of the table tipping?
Well, I thought it was interesting because it wasn't just working along with her, because she had like three or four tables set up. It would even work along with other groups of people, because everybody, there's like a group of about 20 people. We all split up on different ways, and it would work without her being there. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, and then they would let the table choose who was next.
Yeah.
Now, me personally, I don't care much for table tipping. I just feel like it's something that's easily faked, and it would take a whole lot to prove to me that it was real. I mean, I sat through one, and I got answers to questions, but I still wasn't 100% believer. And I mean, we've talked about it many times. I'm a skeptic believer. I just have to have enough to show me one way or another. And with what I've experienced with table tipping, I haven't really.
What about cow tipping?
Cow tipping.
I was going to ask that, yeah.
Have you been cow tipping?
Maybe. You can tell my cousins and I something about that, because apparently it happened.
You wait for them to sleep, because some of them sleep standing up.
Yeah. I want you to go tip T-bone.
I'm not fast enough to outrun it when it comes after me.
And I'm not going with him, because he'll use me as bait.
Yes, I will.
Even though I'm probably faster than you.
I'll just break your leg. It's cool.
T-bone is our mother's steer.
You'll wait until I have gout. It's fine.
Evil.
Now, another form of spirit communication was spirit writing. Now, this was a little less noisy than table tipping. And the mediums would use a small basket with a pencil attached to one end. The medium would then touch the basket, and the spirit would take over and write messages. Now, the basket eventually evolved into a heart-shaped planchette, which was more of a sophisticated tool with two rotating casters underneath, and then you place the pencil at the tip to give it a third leg. And like the basket, the medium would touch the planchette, and the spirit would write a message. They also then discovered that, hey, they could use this planchette as a pointer. According to some writers, the inventor of the planchette was a well-known French medium named M. Planchet. This is unlikely, considering that there is absolutely no information that this individual actually ever existed. But the French word planchette translates to English as little plank. Now, table tipping basically took too long, especially when they were spelling out a message. I mean, can you imagine? C. A.
Wait, I lost count.
T. And that's just a three-letter word. Can you imagine if you had a long-winded ghost?
One who had like some sort of breathing apparatus. He's like, C.
A dyslexic ghost.
Dyslexic ghost. And you're trying to.
Wait, how do you backspace?
Delete, 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 delete. Shit.
Now, at this point in time, I mean, Morse code existed, so why didn't they just use that?
Well, that's kind of like the idea behind it. And
Spirit
what got
never learned it.
It's what got a lot of people behind table tipping, is because they thought, you know, I can get a message from telegraph across the country. in seconds.
Yeah.
Why couldn't I communicate with the dead? Now, the basket and the planchette were also very difficult because it was really hard to read the message. It's basically you got somebody who's just scribbling across the table. Now, some mediums would forego the basket and the planchette and just use the pencil. And while in a trance-like state, they would write a message. And this is called automatic writing. And you talked a little bit about that in your seance stuff. Now, there are some mediums that still use this today. Others use modified versions of this, maybe mindlessly doodling while they're doing a reading. And then they look down at their page and they've drawn a picture that is meaningful to the sitter. Or they've written a word that is meaningful to the sitter, something like that. If you've ever watched Long Island Medium, she does that a lot. And this is also how Madame Blavatsky claims to have written much of Isis Unveiled. She was using the Tibetan Buddhist technique known as Tolka. And in Tolka, the spirit of the master comes into the body and takes over the consciousness, which is why so many of her writings were in different handwritings, because it was supposedly the master coming and taking over. And if you remember, she also stated that it was not the loved ones that the mediums were interacting with, but it was the
astral hobos.
Astral hobos.
Hey man, can I borrow like 20 astral dollars, man?
Which
my astral van broke down, man. I just need gas to get me and my kids home. Can you get me some?
It's
money?
Really for like astral meth.
Which she described as low level elementals that hang along between the two worlds, and really, they just don't got nothing better to do than to pick up odd jobs that we offer them through, like, Tolka and this kind of spiritual communication stuff.
Yeah. Now, some individuals built weird alphanumeric gadgets and odd-looking table contraptions with moving needles and letter wheels. Clearly, these machines suffered from over-engineering and lack of imagination. They were like giant, like the Wheel of Fortune wheel, but it like propped up on its side. And it basically would spin and then stop on a letter. And then spin and stop on a letter. Now, I did watch a story about the guy who invented that. And he was inventing it to prove that it didn't exist. That spirits didn't exist and you couldn't communicate with spirits, and ended up using it to prove that they did exist because he got so much credible information from it. Now, you can still find a few of these things and for certain names and incarnations around, but they're not nearly as popular as some of the other stuff that I'm about to cover. Now, the American and European toy companies actively peddled the planchette, making it immensely popular. And the dial plate devices, although were more sophisticated, they were largely ignored. This was most likely because the planchettes were easier to make and market inexpensively as novelties. Both took a back seat in 1886. When reports of a new and exciting talking board sensation hit the newsstands. Mentioned in this March 28, 1886, Sunday supplement of the New York Times Tribune, the story quickly spread across the country. And this is actually a reprint of the Tribune article in an Oakland, California publication for spiritualists called the Dove or Carrier Dove.
Planchette is simply nowhere, said a Western man at the Fifth Avenue Hotel, compared with the new scheme for mysterious communication that is being used out in Ohio. I know of whole communities that are wild over the talking board, as some then call it. I have never heard any name for it, but I have seen and heard some of the most remarkable things about its operations, things that seem to pass all human comprehension or explanation. What is the board like? Give me a pencil and I'll show you. The first requisite is the operating board. It may be rectangular, about 18 by 20 inches. It is inscribed like this. The yes and the no are to start and stop the conversation. The good evening and good night are for courtesy. Now, a little table 3 or 4 inches high is prepared with 4 legs. Anyone can make the whole apparatus in 15 minutes with a jackknife and a marking brush. You take the board in your lap, another person sitting down with you. You each grasp the little table with the thumb and forefinger at each corner next to you. Then the question is asked, are there any communications? Pretty soon, you think the other person is pushing the table. He thinks you're doing the same. But the table moves around to yes or no. Then you go on asking questions, and the answers are spelled out by the legs of the table resting on the letters one after the other. Sometimes the table will cover 2 letters with its feet, and then you hang on and ask the table be moved from the long letter, which is done. Some remarkable conversations have been carried on until men have become, in measure, superstitious about it. I know of a gentleman whose family became so interested in playing with the witching thing that he burned it up. The same night, he started out of town on a business trip. The members of his family looked for the board and could not find it. They got a servant to make them a new one. Then 2 of them sat down and asked what had become of the other table. The answer was spelled out, giving a name. Jack burned it. There are, of course, any number of nonsensical and relevant answers spelled out, but the workers pay little heed to them. If the answers are relevant, they talk them over with a superstitious awe. One gentleman of my acquaintance told me that he got a communication about a title to some property from his dead brother, which was of great value to him. It is curious, according to those who have worked most of the new mystery, that while 2 persons are holding the table, a third person sitting in the same room some distance away may ask the questions without even speaking them aloud, and then the answers will show they are intended for him. Again, answers will be turned to the inquiries of one of the persons operating, but the other can get no answers at all. In Youngstown, Canton, Warren, Tiflin, Mansfield, Akron, Elyria, and a number of other places in Ohio, I heard that there was a perfect craze over the new planchette. Its use and operation have taken the place of card bodies. Attempts are made to verify statements that are made about living persons, and in some instances, they have succeeded so well as to make the inquiries still more awe-stricken.
What made this new planchette so amusing to people was the fact that they themselves could do it without having to find or contact a medium. Now, this new invention was awesome, but who invented it? Right about the same time, one of the nation's largest toy makers, the W.S. Reed Toy Company, put out a device with striking similarities to the planchette. This product was dubbed the Witchboard, and it was described as followed. Upon the corners of the board were respectively yes, no, goodbye, and good day. While the alphabet occupied the center of the board, a miniature stand, which rested on 4 legs, stands upon the board, upon which the hands are placed, and then the spirit begins their work. Should an answer be yes or no, the small table would travel to the respective corners, etc. Communications are spelled out by diminutive table resting over such letters as maybe wanting to spell out a message. This is from the Boston Globe on June 5th, 1886. Now, Reed's short-lived witchboard might have been completely forgotten had it not have been for the amusing incident when Charles Dresser, Reed's treasurer, sent President Grover Cleveland one as a wedding gift and wished that it may be of service. Whether Dresser might have been joking about the marriage is up for speculation. Francis Folsom was 27 years younger than the president, and the age difference between the two had society all a twitter. Cleveland replied with courtesy, "I expect it as evidence of a kind feeling and friendship, and can admire it for its ingenuity, but I hardly think that I shall immediately test its powers or to disclose the past or foretell the future." Now, although Reed would trademark a similar item, the Espirito, in 1891, other interested parties leapt aboard the talking board bandwagon. Within a few short years, the first patent for improvements, filed on May 28, 1890, was granted in February of 1891. Enlist Elijah J. Bond as the inventor, and the assignees as Charles W. Kennard and William H. A. Maupin of Baltimore, Maryland. It is unclear if these men knew anything about Reed's witchboard. Now, Kinnard stated that he named the new board Ouija, or Ouija, after a session with Mrs. Peters, Elijah Bond's sister-in-law. I remarked that we had not yet settled upon a name, and as the board had helped us in other ways, we would ask for it to propose one. It spelled out O-U-I-J-A. When I asked the meaning of the word, it said, good luck. Miss Peters thereupon drew upon her neck and chain, which had at the end a locket. On it, a figure of a woman, and at the top, the word Ouija. We asked her if she had thought of the name, and she said she had not. We then adopted the word. There present were Mr. Bond, his wife, his son, and Miss Peters, and myself. Kinnard and Bond, doing business as Kinnard Novelty Company, wasted no time in advertising in local periodicals. Now, Kinnard left the company after about 14 months and started a new company called the Northwestern Toy Company in Chicago, Illinois. And then Bond went to a Baltimore capitalist, William Bowie, or no, Washington Bowie, sorry. And they changed the name of the Kinnard Novelty to the Ouija Novelty Company. Kinnard made another product that was similar to the Ouija board, the Vola board, which he then was sued for infringement, and he and the company had to apologize for it. Basically, there was a lot of argument over who actually invented it. Bond, Elijah Bond, and Kinnard basically said that they invented it, whereas Bowie and another gentleman named E.C. Rake from Chesterton, Maryland, said that Rake had invented it. A lot of back and forth on it. Basically, in the end, it didn't really matter because Bowie remained the powerhouse behind the Ouija Novelty Company. So he made all the choices about it. Now, he put his son in charge of the Chicago factory. And early on, he took on 20-year-old William Fold. And taught him everything he knew about the business. Fold quickly rose to a position of foreman and became one of the original company stockholders. Bowie leased the right to manufacture the Ouija board to William and his brother Isaac. With the single stroke of fate, William Fold became the one that history would forever remember as the father of the Ouija board. And then there was a lot of dispute over who had the rights to it. And in the end, they sold the company to Parker Brothers. And Parker Brothers then took it, and they actually created some really nice boards. And they even released a deluxe wooden edition. And if I could get my hands on that, that'd be really cool. And then Parker Brothers was bought by Hasbro. And Hasbro kind of made it more of a gimmicky toy. They made it glow in the dark. They made a pink one, you know.
They did Hasbro things.
Yeah. Now, there are other companies who make similar items, such as Mystic Boards and all of that. They're just not the Ouija board. There are even, in 66, there was even an Art Deco electric mystifying oracle board.
Mm.
Now, if you read the instructions on a Ouija board, it tells you that you are going to contact the mystifying oracle. But you can also, I guess, ask to contact anybody. But there is somebody who is most commonly associated with the Ouija board.
And you don't want to talk to him.
And you don't want to talk to him. He is.
Who is that?
He is considered the demon of the Ouija board and goes by the name of Zozo, which to me sounds like a clown.
Every time we talk about Zozo, I picture like an evil clown.
That's exactly what I picture. Here are some warning signs that you have contacted Zozo. Rapid figure eight movements on the planchette. I have experienced this. Rainbow side-to-side movements on the planchette. I have also experienced this. You know, where it's just back and forth. The planchette spelling out Zozo, Zaza, Mama, Oz, or Abacus. Extreme unease. Thoughts of depression during or after Ouija board sessions. Dark shadow movements in or around the Ouija board.
Check.
Remember that one?
Yes.
I think we contacted Zozo.
Probably did. That was a weird night.
That was the last night I ever messed with the Ouija board.
That's the last time I will ever touch a Ouija board.
What happened? I haven't heard this story, guys.
It was Austin, Chad, and I, and we were in my living room. I was 18. I just moved out. We were in my living room. We were playing with a Ouija board. And I don't know, just all of a sudden, we all just kind of stopped.
Just all got drawn towards the corner of the kitchen.
And all looked towards the corner of the kitchen. Like there was something standing in the corner of the kitchen. And we quickly ended the game and put the board away. And yeah, didn't mess with it again.
But we all
felt uneasy.
We all just stopped and looked. It's like, okay, someone's staring at us in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You could see a silhouette, but you couldn't see someone. And it's like, do you see the black figure in the kitchen? Yeah. Do you see it? Yeah. And we just sat there for a good 10 minutes just staring at it, not moving, not talking. And finally, Amy was like, okay, we're putting this away. Okay. Yes, please.
No.
Now, wasn't that the name of the demon in The Exorcist?
I don't know. I don't remember. Probably.
I was just thinking it was something like Zozo or Zuzu or...
Possibly.
I don't know.
It was probably Legion.
That's where I am many.
Here is what you do if you come in contact with Zozo. Don't panic.
Like you guys did.
Yeah. because if you contact a demon, why would you panic? All right. Darker entities, especially demons, feed off of fear.
Fear.
Close the session as soon as possible. If you're using a Ouija board, move the planchette over to goodbye. Now, I have also heard that you do not move it. You tell the spirit that you are done and you need to leave. And you make the spirit move it. Because apparently it could be considered rude if you move the planchette. Because that is the spirit's tool.
But also, this is basically a phone call.
Yeah.
So why don't you end the phone call?
Now, you're going to set boundaries before you start the spirit communications. It is important to set boundaries with ghosts, entities, and demons so that they're demons that you may communicate with. Now, this is very true. Anytime I've ever done any kind of spirit work, I always, set some rules. And there are rules in my house for spirits. Number one rule is don't show yourself. You can be here. You can move things. You can turn things on. You can, all that kind of stuff. Don't let me see you. That freaks me out more than
is
anything.
Is it a security
It's kind of the
thing?
Same idea Amy has with spiders.
Yeah.
You can be here. Just don't let me see you.
Yeah. If I see you, you're
so
dead.
It's like a security thing.
Yeah. Well, it's because there's nothing more unsettling than turning the corner or opening your eyes when you're in the middle of a sleep and there'd be somebody there. It's a very uneasy feeling. So I don't like it. Don't show yourself.
Because your first thought's always, that's human.
Yeah. That's human. Somebody broke into my house.
Yeah.
I am much cooler with there being a ghost sitting at the foot of my bed than a person.
Yeah.
But there is that moment when you're like, holy shit, there is a person at the foot of my bed. Now, smudge the area and Ouija board participants. Yeah, it's always a good thing. It's always a good thing to smudge your house.
What's smudge?
Smudging is when you take, depends on what your beliefs are. You can use holy water or you can use...
So bless your house.
Yeah, bless your house, basically. Or you can use sage, things of that nature. I use sage. I try to do it at least once or twice a year.
Now, I heard you don't want to use sage on anything that you're going to be contacting spirits with because sage drives away all spirits.
Yeah. Well, it's mainly negative spirits, but it can have that effect. Now, do not use the same Ouija board again. Do not say or speak his name.
We screwed that one up. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. Oh, God.
Now, I don't particularly believe in demons. I believe that there are negative spirits out there, but...
I believe there are spirits that just want to cause havoc, astral hobos.
Yeah, there's just mischievous spirits that want to cause havoc and harm. I believe in that 120%. I don't believe in a hell. I don't believe in a devil. So therefore, it's hard for me to say that there are demons. But when I refer to demons, I usually just am referring to those nasty pain in the ass spirits.
I feel like if for every good, there's a bad. And if there's good that exists in the spiritual world, whether it be loved ones or just literally, nuisance of ghosts, because, those aren't technically bad or evil as far as nuisances go. But if there's bad, there has to be a counterdicting equalization to the pendulum.
Yeah.
You know, so if there's bad, there has to be, sorry, if there's good, there has to be bad.
Yes.
Yeah. And as within, so without.
Yeah.
He said it deeper than I did. 8 stars for Gryffindor.
Now, one thing I also firmly believe in is if you're dealing with a nasty pain in the ass spirit,
mm-hmm.
you can request the help of good spirits. Because that is also sometimes a battle that you can't win because you can't see it. And if you call in something that is on its level and on its playing field, they can take care of it.
Okay, so I'm calling Chester Bennington and a few other ghosts with vocal powers to blow them away, right?
Yeah, you can call angels, you can call spirits. Usually I ask for, because I've got a few different spirit guides. I call for my protective spirit guides to take care of things.
You know who I would call on? Van Helsing.
Van Helsing. But he's a werewolf.
Perfect. You never seen a, like, what's scarier than a ghost werewolf? Exactly. You know who I'm going to call? Ghostbuster.
Na, 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 na.
The original cast, not the new cast.
I like the new cast.
Nothing against the girls. I'm just saying OG was better.
OG is always better. But now,
I never had no ghost.
Zozo dates back to 1816.
I feel like you should be saying he who should not be named, since you've already had an experience with
him. You said 1816?
Yes.
But talking boards weren't even popularized until after 1850, right?
Well, there was a case of a girl who claimed to be possessed by 3 demons, and their names were Mimi, Crapulet, Cap...
My name is Crapulet.
C-R-A-P-O-U-L-E-T.
Capulet? Yeah.
Crapulet.
Goddamn Montagues. Yeah,
that's Crapulet.
Crapulet and Zozo.
Oh, shit.
My name is Crapulet.
And you said
Zozo.
According to another theory, Zozo is another name for the Mesopotamian demon Pazuzu. If Zozo is really the nickname for Pazuzu, this creature is beyond or has been terrorizing the cultist and party game enthusiast for at least 2,700 years.
Pazuzu was the demon from The Exorcist.
Pazuzu?
Yeah, because in The Exorcist 2, they're in South America doing like excavations with archaeologists.
And they release something, right?
Yeah, and they release Pazuzu.
Now, Zozo can do things from possess your body to making you sick, making you depressed, things of that nature.
That's going to use as my excuse from now on.
Can't come to work today.
Sorry, Zozo got me.
The power of Christ compels you.
Who?
Compels you to what?
I don't know. Leave.
Do the rope.
Oh.
Power of who? Chris? Chris who? Chris?
Now, there are a few Chris things Mindfreak. That you should not do to a spirit board. One, don't burn it. Apparently, that's bad. And
that's
that,
gateway.
That releases...
That's a gateway. Yeah.
Releases the demons.
Exactly.
It releases Crapulet.
Crapulet.
I am the French goes to hunt your poops. I am Crapulet.
Blah, 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 blah.
Don't say that.
Sounds like
crap, 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 crap.
Now, what's interesting is...
Now I'm going to get haunted by Crapulet because I'm making fun of him.
Now, does that include... Because I've seen ones where it's... Like burned wood,
yeah,
to represent the letters.
No, it's like burning it to destroy it. Because what that does is that releases the ghost from the board.
It opens up the 9th dimension of hell.
Yeah, something, you know. Which is interesting because I did try to burn my board, and every time it would catch fire, it would then go out.
What was this made of?
It was cardboard.
Holy shite.
Yeah, we're talking a Hasbro... demon board? A Hasbro Ouija board.
That is coated with fire retardant spray.
Probably was. But it would light up and then it would just go right out.
They probably did that for effect too. They're like, these bitches are going to try to burn this board. We're going to keep that from happening.
I believe
what they should have done is put saltpeter in it like those candles that you can't blow out. So that you set it on fire, it also just starts sparkling and like going crazy.
You're also, I believe you're not supposed to throw it away, which is exactly what I did with mine. I believe you're supposed to bury it with salt. I threw mine in the trash can. So the Norman City dump is haunted by my...
By Zozo.
By Zozo.
And Crapulet.
And Crapulet.
Crapulet.
And stupid Levine.
He is a French.
Now our
Hunter
son.
Hunter the poop.
Our son, he has, his blanket's called a Mimi.
It is. He does call his
baby. I love Mimi.
That game of chills.
Yes. His blanket is his Mimi.
That's fucked up.
What about a Momo?
A Momo is a...
Because our daughter's always like, Momo loves me. I got to do what Momo says.
Well, that's bullshit because she doesn't watch any iTunes or YouTube.
Momo is a
YouTube
creepy freak that people have broken into child's videos.
They always give these things these innocent, like, little kid sounding names, and I think that adds to, like, the horror
the
factor of it.
Of it.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of people who have had bad experiences with talking boards, so I really feel like there is something to it. Like I said, Chad and I have experienced some stuff with the talking board that I don't really want to mess with it.
Since then, I've refused to ever use them.
I would love to have a collection of them. Kind of like I want my collection of tarot cards. There are so many awesome talking boards out there.
The coolest one is the guy who turned his floorboard, his wooden floor,
into a
Ouija board, and his coffee table is a planchette.
That is pretty
cool.
Although
I was like, I would be freaking out, though, and I'm watching TV and my coffee table starts moving. I'm burning the freaking house down.
Can you move towards me so I can grab my beer?
Yeah, I
need the remote. I need the remote. Bring it back. Thank you.
Well, you know, I've seen the meme where it has that, and then it's like my Roomba would be summoning demons. Now, I don't have a Roomba. I have the much more retarded version, which is called the D-Bot. And it is pretty damn stupid. And I could see it summoning demons on purpose. I'm like, let's see what this does. And the thing got stuck underneath the couch like 5 times today.
I mean, you can also teach the dog with the laser pointer how to...
There you go. Yeah. I mean, so there's definitely something to spirit boards. I'm not going to take away anybody's experiences on them. I think there definitely is something that happens.
If you enjoy using them, continue using them. But
I believe most of the time it's like the pendulum where it is subconsciously, your subconscious is...
A lot of time it's purposely
spelling
done.
Stuff out. Yeah, sometimes. Now, there was one time we were at a sleepover. I think that's when most of the time that... Ouija boards got used. Was it sleepovers?
Pillow fights don't exist.
No, we use Ouija boards and summon curses. And
yeah, because you're not supposed to use it by yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, people do, though. Yeah.
Well, there was one time we were doing it, and we were getting really cool answers and stuff. So I actually sat out while my friends and her dad, a couple of friends, and then one of my friend's dads were messing with the Ouija board. And it was actually telling me stuff about my grandparents that nobody knew. And so that was kind of cool. It was a cool experience. But then again, is it subconsciously we're reaching into that collective consciousness? And I was actually answering the questions for them and sending it to them, more of like a telepathic communication.
Yeah. Like with the Akashic records where all thought and all deeds are recorded somewhere. Yeah.
Which is still pretty damn cool. Kind of mm-hmm. like we talked about in the medium thing. If that's how mediums communicate, is by accessing those Akashic records. That's still pretty damn spiffy.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's still a talent. Got to give it to it. But I don't know. Again, I probably would never use a talking board ever again. But I do want to collect them. So...
See my
so she can capture all the Zozos and Crapulets.
So my problem with the so I've never used one personally. I've never used a Luigi board. But I remember when I got engaged and I walked into our newly rented home, and my girlfriend was on the or my fiance at the time was sitting on the ground with an open Ouija board with one of her friends.
And I, like, in my head, the only words that came in my head was, oh, hell nah. I grabbed the board and I was like, this is not staying in our house. Okay. Shit scared the shit out of me. I was like, have you ever used this here? Like, used this before? And she's like, yeah, all the time. I was like, what do you mean all the time? She's like, I used it at my mom's house, used it at the house before that. Used the house for that. Used it in your apartment. I was like, what? You used it in my... No wonder why the fuck we moved from that place. Because strange shit happened. Because I used to live at Campus Lodge. Mm-hmm. And we lived there for about 3 months. And she's like, I used it there too. And I was like, no wonder why certain shit started to happen. Because, like, she was not trained in anything. She was just basically an idiot with a board and a fucking triangle on it. Trying to ash shit. Like, I had weird dreams. There were situations.
That's just you.
Yeah.
You're just fucked up.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Had weird dreams. Heard sounds.
You had wet dreams?
Oh, no. I was engaged at the time. I didn't have wet dreams.
Chad's sad face.
Yeah. I mean, we're kind of.
Now, you were calling it the Luigi board.
Uh-huh.
And then. Crapulet popped into my head, and I think I solved the problem. The Luigi board has got stuffed pipes, and Luigi needs to get in there and clean up Crapulet.
Boop, 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 boop. Crapulet, Luigi, can you help me? It's a me, Luigi.
Oh. The less liked brother. The one who actually had to do all the work, like Mario, was out trying to get a princess.
Yeah, trying to bang a princess.
We that was happily married to Bowser, by the way.
My family always thought his name was Luigi until the show came out. The Mario Brothers, like, for an hour or whatever it was.
Luigi. Well, Crapulet and Luigi.
Wee wee. Wee wee with Crapulet.
So those are kind of the voodoo, hoodoo, spooky, spiritual communications. Dave, of course,
has the science, expert researcher.
Science. He dug into science.
Where Amy did.
Bill, not the science guy. Dave. Dave, the science guy.
Dave. So, Dave.
Yes.
Give us the science.
All right, I'm going to start with EVPs.
What does that stand for?
EVP is an acronym meaning electronic voice phenomena. What it is at its most basic definition is sound waves that are imprinted upon a recording, but not heard by witnesses during the recording process. The way EVP is used for spirit communication is by asking general questions aloud while recording and then waiting for a period of time, usually 15 to 20 seconds. Then when you listen back to the recording, voices can sometimes be heard as responses to questions. Now, some say frequencies outside of the normal human range of hearing could be picked up by audio recording equipment, but that is unlikely because the majority of sound recording equipment is developed for the human range of hearing, which is 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz. Furthermore, the audio waves or digital audio files do not need to be adjusted to bring the frequency levels up or down in order to hear the phenomena. It has been theorized that EVP phenomena is imprinted onto the recording in an unknown way. As an example, if you recorded a dog whistle being blown, which ranges anywhere from 23,000 hertz to 54,000 hertz, humans would not hear it, and most audio recording equipment would not even record it. However, if audio recording equipment did pick up the frequency, it would need to be adjusted so the human range of hearing could even perceive it.
So is that what they do on like movies and stuff when they play a dog whistle? Because you can usually hear it in the movies. Or is it me, just me who hears it? Do I have the hearing pitch of a dog?
Well, dog whistles, I mean, they range anywhere from 23,000 hertz to 54,000 hertz, but they can also go lower than that. Okay. And then the human range of hearing can go beyond 20,000 hertz.
Well, I know that there used to be, I don't know, there probably still is, there used to be ringtones you could get that would emit a pitch that anybody over the age of 30 wouldn't be able to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody under 30 could hear it. And Chad had him on his phone, and it was funny because I could hear it, and I'd be like, Chad, stop. My mom would be like, what are you talking about? And he would use it to mess with me.
So there's also the possibility that EVPs are the capturing of radio waves by audio recording equipment. But I have some reasoning why that could not necessarily be the case. First up, the majority of radio waves being sent out are in a musical format. I've never heard an EVP that was just a snippet of a song.
Yeah.
Furthermore, most audio recording equipment is designed to only record what is being picked up by the microphone of the device. So if audio recording equipment is designed to only record through the microphone, then how could radio waves or spiritual voices, for that matter, become imprinted on such devices? Because I think both would be unexplained phenomena.
Yeah.
So I got some EVPs to play for you.
Now, these EVPs were recorded back in 2013 when I was doing a tarot session for Austin, who, if you, our listeners remember back to some of the first few episodes, Austin was in him.
He was on our mediums episode.
Yeah,
also.
He was. Uh-huh. And so these are some EVPs that I picked up. This was on a Halloween in 2013. So here's one of them.
Two.
It's there at the very beginning.
I hear something, but I just couldn't tell you what it was at, but
sounds like yes.
See, what I hear is amazing. Play it one more time.
Two.
I don't know. There may or may not be something there. Here's the next one. And this one I'm hearing, oh shit.
Yeah.
It's creepy. Oh, shit.
All right. Here's the next. All right. If you hear, there's a deep voice at the end of this.
Yeah. You've been.
Yeah.
This one, I couldn't figure out what it was
That's
saying.
That's creepy taking the shit, though.
That one just sounds like a sigh.
Yeah. You've been.
Yeah, it just sounds like a.
And then, I mean, this is not the last one. I have a whole bunch, but.
Wow.
I'm hearing, like, oh, yes, or yes.
Wow. Wow.
Okay, so I can hear oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
With EVPs, it tends to be if someone can think they hear it, then everyone else tends to hear the same thing, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, most EVPs have a lot to do with hearing a little bit of fuzzy noise, possibly due to some kind of minor feedback loop or distortion upon the audio wave. Possibly even from the gears or components of the audio recorder itself. Then through the power of just suggestion, some can be convinced it is words or phrases. I have a clip from comedian Peter Kay that can show you the power of suggestion I'm trying to explain by using songs.
All right, you guys ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
You know that song, We Are Family? For years I thought they were singing, Just Let Me Staple the Vicar. Right? Who's right and who's wrong here? Listen.
All of the people around us, they say, can they be that close? Just let me stay for Rebecca.
That's what they sing. Just let me staple the vicar. That's all that about.
Just let me stay for Rebecca.
Loving a family doll.
We're giving love in a family doll. We are family.
You know Duffy, the Welsh songstress, last 3 years I thought that poor cow were begging me for birdseed.
I'm begging you for birdseed. I'm begging you for
birdseed. Apparently it's mercy. I thought it were birdseed. Drive by the cars, beautiful song. They used this on Live Aid. Do you remember? They showed it over this harrowing footage of these starving Ethiopians. They're actually singing about pork pie. Pork pie! Swear to God.
Thinking nothing's wrong.
pledge money, me, pork pie. I pledge money. Sick BBC. Apparently, according to Michael, your burgers are the best.
I can hear your prayers. Your burgers are the best.
You must have had one of them burger vans. You know, they have their bumpers. And doing steak Canadians and hot dogs. Speaking of hot dogs. I believe the hot dogs go on.
I believe that the hot dogs
go on. He's got a bit of rivalry here, Michael. Celine's peddling hot dogs. It's on his patch. Meanwhile, Katie Lang's singing about arseholes. I don't waste my evenings.
What do you get when you kiss a guy? You get enough jam to catch pneumonia.
After you do, he'll never bone you. I swear to God, bone you. Bobby Gentry, filth. Listen. I've sang that at Cow, my mum. Every time I think of it, I piss myself.
Every time I think of it, I piss myself.
I can't believe you kiss your cock at night.
As like to shine's machine, baby, take off my shoes before you let me get in. I can't believe you kiss your cock at night.
Can't even see mine, let alone kiss it. I've got a rounder over the toy shop.
You need to go and watch his comedy act. It is hilarious. That's Peter Kay. You can find it on YouTube. Hilarious.
I can't believe you kiss your cock at night.
What's interesting about those things, too, is now that you've heard those, it's forever ruined for you. You'd never be able to hear those songs the same. And there's another podcast that Dave and I listen to and recommend all of our listeners go and check them out. It's Graveyard Tales. And one of them was telling a story. I played it for Chad. I can't say it as good as he can. He's got a way he says it, but basically he's got a friend and they're driving around the car listening to Foo Fighters and the song Hero is on. And,
so when it gets to the line of he's ordinary, his friend sings Sergeant Mary. And then he tells him this whole backstory.
Yeah. About how he's a hero.
He's like, you have a backstory for you hearing the words wrong?
It's hilarious. But now I can't listen to that song without singing it.
Sergeant Mary.
Sergeant Mary. Like, it's just me ruined either. For me. But that shows definitely that the influence in what you hear versus what's actually said.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't get over the hamburgers and Michael Jackson.
Burgers are the best.
Now, some EVPs are very distinct where the power of suggestion could be ruled out. I found one very compelling one for us to listen to, And this is the best one I could find after hours of searching.
Anybody in here give me a haircut? I need a trim.
You hear Deborah there in the background?
Anybody in here give me a haircut? I need a trim.
So, that's the best one I could find.
Deborah, if you're out there.
He needs a trim.
I need a trim.
So then, kind of later on, spirit boxes become a thing. And a spirit box is an electronic device that sweeps through radio frequencies in either megahertz or kilohertz, depending on how you have it set. Much like with EVP communication, you ask general questions aloud while waiting for a response. It differs from EVP communication in that it is more of an actual conversation. So like with conversations, questions can become very specific with the context. However, it is hard to understand what is being conveyed at times, so misunderstandings can lead to very strange conversations. There is also a level of expectation and a dose of assumption. Take, for example, if I were to ask, "What is your name?" Then the spirit box says, "Save." My brain, expecting a name for the answer, might actually perceive the name Dave instead. Another expectation is that the spirit box will only answer while you're not talking to it during the pause for a response. So here is a clip from a PSB7 spirit box.
Is anyone here that can hear me? Who can hear me? Juan. John. Do you want out of the wall? Alright, guys. Can somebody say a name?
Not very clear, huh?
No.
I think I heard the B-52's Love Shack in there for a sec.
Yeah. Love Shack, baby.
We talked about on the last episode with the haunted hotels with the Ancient Ram Inn, and there's a part in one of the YouTube paranormal parts that they use that, and it was the funniest 30 minutes of the entire thing, because the radio starts calling him a cunt. It starts calling him out on stuff. It's so funny. It's the one time the spirit boxes cracked me up.
Now maybe the next one I have is a little better.
What is your name? Are there any spirits here? What is your name? What do you want? Can you hear me? Are there any spirits here? What would you like to tell me?
Sounds like my dad yelling at me for playing with the radio.
Okay, so this next clip is from the same spirit box connected to a noise reducer so you don't hear the static sounds as it cycles through the frequencies. It is then attached to a reverb pedal, which is fed into an amplifier. Let's give that a listen.
And come up and talk through this device. If you don't know how to do it, I'm sure... That was a spirit, thank you. Others will help you. We're looking for those messages. I'm concentrating on who. Many of them are here.
That's pretty good. That one gave me chills. But I think it's just the reverb that gave me chills, but
Yeah, the reverb makes it sound like so evilish. Spooky. Yeah, spooky. The next one I have is very clear, but then it goes back to being inaudible near the end.
It's worried for us.
I am worried for you. Who's coming through? Whose loved ones are here to leave messages?
The next one I have is a whispering voice that goes on for a while.
Come through the door. Shadow.
Whoa.
Else you want to say?
That one gave me chills.
So if we continue this clip from this point, a man's voice comes through and that whispering voice is kind of underneath it.
Come on through. We've say Karen. Is there a Karen here?
Yes. It's false. Down again.
Karen, did you die from cancer?
So with this method, the voices tend to go on for about 30 seconds to a minute. And it's the same voice, even though it's cycling through all these different frequencies. Now, in these next few clips is from a different session. The uploader of the video asked his YouTube followers to meditate on loved ones that had passed and then listen for validations.
John.
The
window.
You said window. I'm right
near the window.
Whoa.
Get home with.
Talk through this device.
Breath. Floss.
Leave your messages.
Relativity. Oh, so.
I hear you.
Six.
You're coming through.
Circle.
Do any of you remember how you died?
See beyond. Three.
Now, I heard a first and a last name in there, and somebody did comment on his video that, I'm not going to say what the name was, but that was his brother. That was the name of his brother that died like a year ago that day.
See, I heard that too, and I swear I heard Brandon Lawson, but I think that maybe because we did that.
Is Brandon Lawson's on your mind?
Yeah.
The next clip is from later in that session.
Elizabeth, I heard that. Thank you. Were you so now I can go look. Thank you, I hear you.
For you.
So now I can go look for you. You found me. You found me. So if there's an Elizabeth watching, or someone who loved, whose loved one was named Elizabeth.
The uploader of this video claimed he was emailed shortly after posting this by a Larissa who was trying to reach her loved one named Elizabeth.
Interesting. Those give me the heebie-jeebies, but at the same time, my skeptic brain goes off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because some of them are so clear. I guess it's like the Bigfoot footage, though. I mean, the clear images get blown off as fake because they're clear. So, I mean...
You got to check the camera like you... I'm an alcoholic with delirium tremors.
So when you add that noise reducer to it, it mm-hmm. gets rid of all the radio waves that are heard through the frequency. So it's picking up something.
Yeah.
It's just where's it picking it up from is kind of the...
Yeah.
The phenomena of it. Okay, so in our Haunted Hotels episode, I brought up the Estes Method, created by Carl Pfeiffer, Connor Randall, and Michelle Tate. At the time of its creation, they were the full-time resident paranormal investigators of the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado. First, they isolated the noise from an SB7 spirit box, hooking Connor Randall up to a pair of headphones. They set him down in the concert hall's basement hallway, an area the team had been experiencing increased paranormal activity in weeks prior. While Connor sat quietly with eyes closed, listening to a direct feed from the SB7, Pfeiffer began to ask questions. Randall began to blurt out answers, but they were making too much sense to be coincidence. Pfeiffer said, quote, "I was expecting there to be some interesting moments when we began. That we'd sometimes have some random words align, but during the first session, I was very surprised at the consistency." Unquote. To rule out trickery, Pfeiffer and Randall continued to revise the experiment, adding a blindfold to ensure that the receiver couldn't read lips. Randall suggested that they add a pair of noise-isolating headphones to rule out the possibility of the receiver hearing the questions being asked. Pfeiffer said of this, quote, "When we added the headphones and the blindfold, we didn't find any real difference in the responses we were getting, but there was a distinct boost in confidence in the responses. When using something like earbuds, especially the cheap kind, you can't fully trust that some kind of sound isn't leaking through, no matter how much you trust your receiver. So on our second try, when we had direct, specific commentary about what was happening in the room, it was as good as any other ghostly activity. It's pure excitement. I was stunned." Unquote. So since the beginning of the Estes Method, the duo have clocked well over 200 hours in the experiment, testing it for flaws, tweaking it with new variables, and guiding colleagues through the process of performing their own sessions. The evidence of its success continued to pile up. There is some speculation that the sensory deprivation methods, along with the white noise, caused the responses to be received through psychically induced methods. I know we have discussed many times about keeping the conscious mind busy in order to achieve metaphysical or magical result. So in this theory, while the conscious mind is busy listening to sweeping radio channels, the receiver is lulled into a sort of trance and begins to hear words and phrases that aren't really in the feed, but are coming from another source. Carl Pfeiffer says of this, quote, "That's the big question. Are the spirits manipulating or broadcasting radio signals, which is always a contentious point with the SB7, or is it something more due to the listener, who seems to quite easily fall into a meditative trance-like state? At this point, I can't discard either. We do have experiments we're working through to try to better separate the two possibilities, but to date, I try not to have an opinion." Connor Randall says of it, quote, "I think it's quite possible that the method is simply a barrier breaker to being able to perceive the voices of spirits that are trying to communicate via our minds. It's been said by many investigators that the best ghost hunting tool in the arsenal is the person themselves. We just took it to another level, literally making the person's auditory senses and mental perception the instrument." Unquote. Regardless of how the Estes method is working, its results and ease of use have seen it adopted by many paranormal investigators and people interested in spiritual communication. Connor, Pfeiffer, and Tate have the following recommendations if you would like to try these experiments. You will need a willing receiver and a willing operator. In other words, someone to perform the Estes method and someone to ask questions. A solid, tight blindfold. An SP7 spirit box, or preferably the latest model, as they're much louder, which helps rule out fraud by unscrupulous receivers. They recommend a pair of Vic Firth S1H1 or S1H2 stereo isolation headphones. These headphones were made for studio drummers and block external noise up to 25 decibels, ruling out unintentionally hearing the operator's questions. They say to beware of sound-canceling headphones because these types of headphones work by playing a tone that deafens the ears to outside sounds. I want to add, if I may, with the Estes method of spiritual communication, it takes out the element of expectation and assumption I brought up earlier with using just a spirit box itself. Because with spirit boxes and EVPs, what is being said and what is being heard can be very different things, as well as when it is being said and why it is being said. During the experiments involving the Estes method, it's not uncommon for the receiver to blurt out what they are hearing and thus talking over or interrupting the operator.
Now, Dave and I experimented with the Estes method with the equipment that we had. We have a spirit box that Dave made, and then we used some headphones, and I was blindfolded. We've done this three times. Dave did it once as the receiver, and then I was the receiver twice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We received some pretty interesting stuff. What's interesting to me is when you hear the voices, it's like in those isolated ones that we played, where the voice stays the same, even though you hear the...
Sound. Yeah, we don't have a noise reducer or anything.
Yeah, we don't have a noise reducer or anything. So you're hearing all this, but then the voice comes through all the same. So, like last night we were doing it, and I had two distinct voices. One was a female and one was a younger male. It was really interesting to me. I mean, it didn't quite follow along with the questions that Dave was asking, but then it did at the same time. Like... he started asking about times and dates, and times and dates were what I was getting, which was really odd because I couldn't hear him asking these questions, but I kept getting these times and dates. So,
yeah, from our experience, because we only done it a few times, it's usually it takes about 5 minutes to where it's not making any sense. And I don't know if it has more something to do with when you get into the... from the deprivation, when you get into that psychical thing, you know, when it starts aligning and making sense, but it has every single time we've tried it.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to try it sometime.
It's really cool. And it's something that I had never even heard of before. So it was really fun to try, and we'll definitely try it more. We've actually been looking and getting into the sound counseling headsets and stuff.
But I personally would like to actually try that.
It's pretty awesome. We might do it later.
Yeah.
Because I'd be chill with talking to somebody. Because basically it's like you're the person interpreting the sounds and you're the person answering the questions and seeing if they kind of like line up, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like the first one we did, I actually got a name, and it was Paul.
Rudd.
But then you started hearing, I said, like, I heard something about knocking or something like that.
Yeah.
And Dave said that when I started talking about knocking, he was hearing knocking coming from outside.
Was this during the middle of the day?
No, it was at night. And it was talking about open up.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've gotten that twice now. Open up.
No. Don't. It's Count Poopula.
It's Count Poopula.
Crapulet.
Well, Count Poopula.
Oh, wee wee on his crappy lip.
Count Poopula is like subordinate.
I know. At one point, she said, "Open up," and I was like, "Open what?" And then she went, "Up."
That. Now,
maybe we'll.
I wonder what we could get if we did it at our house.
I don't want to know.
I actually do. That'd be interesting.
Gonna tell you to open up, all right.
Josie's gonna be like, "Hey guys, can you smile every
can
once in a while?"
Positive. I'm like a anorexic thing. I need some smiles.
No, I know Dave has got some really cool stuff about visual investigations.
Yeah.
Because he's read this to me multiple times and it's really, really cool. So why don't you get into this?
Okay. Now, walnut.
Walnut?
I love walnuts.
While not necessarily direct spirit communication, I'd like to bring up a team of investigators which found a way to find unexplained phenomena hidden within photos, film, and video footage. While they were on a mission to prove that a fourth dimension does indeed exist. T.D. McCroy is an American physicist and fourth dimensional theorist. He is the current chief executive director for CPI Investigations, an independent research group of physicists that seek to prove a fourth dimension exists within the known third dimension space. He is also the creator of the Paranormal Activity Open Source Research Project. The theory of the human soul and transitional neutrinos is based on his subatomic Googleplex singularity theory.
Who's lost?
Huh?
No, I'll get to
it. Was that after 1 + 1 = 2?
So Iroquois technology is a computer program developed by McCroy, which allowed CPI investigations to discover quantum particles from nearly any type of video or film footage because the program has the ability to detect muon and tau particle neutrinos on photograph, video, and film footage. A neutrino is a neutral fundamental particle with a mass close to zero and half integral spin. Rarely reacting with normal matter, the gravitational interaction it experiences is extremely weak, and neutrinos, as with leptons, do not participate in the strong interaction, the mechanism responsible for the strong nuclear force. Thus, neutrinos typically pass through normal matter unimpeded and undetected. Three kinds or flavors of neutrinos are known, associated with the electron, muon, and tau particle.
Chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry?
No, electron, muon, and tau.
But I want chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry.
Okay.
Giggity.
So I'm sure that definition made no sense. So I'm going to break this down for everyone. A neutrino is a fundamental particle. A fundamental particle is a point in space where there could be matter, an electric charge, or any other quantum properties. Particles such as quarks and electrons are fundamental particles as well, because it is believed they are not made up of other smaller particles. Fundamental particles, in essence, are the smallest particles discovered thus far. Some are particles of the atom, and atoms can be best described as the smallest unit of matter that has properties on the periodic table of elements. In size, atoms are very small, about a 10 billionth of a meter. So atoms have electrons in a nucleus. The nucleus is made up of protons and neutrons, which are just two different formations of up quarks and down quarks, which are again fundamental particles. So every atom is just down quarks, up quarks, and electrons. It's only in the arrangement of these three things you get different elements of the periodic table. Y'all following me so far?
Sure.
Now back to the neutrino. It is a fundamental particle, but is not a subatomic particle, meaning it is not in an atom. Therefore, it doesn't become matter, regardless of how tightly packed together the neutrinos are. Yet they are present in the universe. But what makes them more unique is that they are not affected by many quantum forces such as electromagnetic force.
because they have a neutral charge. They also are not affected by the strong nuclear force, which is the force that holds together the quarks in the nucleus of the atom. The quarks, again, being the particles that make a proton or a neutron, depending on the formation of up quarks and down quarks. The strong nuclear force has no effect on the electron either, but the next force, called the weak nuclear force, is felt by the electron and the neutrino. It's also worth mentioning that neutrinos have just a little bit above zero mass, but not by much. The more fascinating thing is that because of all these properties, neutrinos can pass through anything. There is also a lot of them. So many that right now there are 100 billion neutrinos passing through your fingernail every second. But it's not its small mass or size that allows it to pass through any object by, say, wiggling through the area between atoms. It's the fact that it doesn't interact with the other particles because it is not affected by electromagnetism. So it can pass through anything without reacting if it wants to. I say if it wants to, because they do interact with normal matter sometimes. So some things neutrinos can do that no other particles can do is they can change between their different types or flavors. So where an electron is an electron and will always be an electron, an electron neutrino can change to a muon neutrino or a tau neutrino and back, which breaks the known rules of particle physics.
So my chocolate can become vanilla and then become strawberry?
Yeah.
And back to chocolate.
Just at will.
Awesome.
Delicious.
Now, furthermore, they can also decide to interact or not interact with normal matter. Okay, so back to T.D. McCoy. He coined the term quantum energy in nature, or QEIN. The term is used to describe the quantum figures that his research organization publicly displays. He is also known for his mid-atomic realm theory and the three-stage tornado model theory. More specifically to our purpose and topic here is, McCoy is the developer and creator of Iroquois Technology, a complex computer program that helps to display shape in Dimension 4. The Iroquois technology is a complex computer program that identifies human-like quantum particles within raw film footage, otherwise undetectable to the naked eye. Because the program has the ability to detect the muon and tau particle neutrinos on photograph and film footage. T.D. McCoy, while attempting to find a direct correlation between physics and what people were reporting as supernatural phenomena, he theorized it had to be something else that can be explained by physics. What the CPI investigations team was proving while researching was that Iroquois technology was finding human-like images hidden within film footage. Hidden meaning they cannot be seen by the human eye. In other words, the very muon and tau particles, neutrinos, the computer programming was detecting, shows that supernatural phenomena is very much real on a fundamental particle level. From an occultic point of view, this program is able to look into the other world, the astral plane, the spirit world, if you will, the world that's the central insight of all hermetic, esoteric, occultic, and spiritual philosophy, that human beings are the inhabitants of two worlds, the mundane world we unavoidably encounter every day, and the other world which transcends this one, a world where we are not constrained by the limits of time and space. And as were 100 years ago, this kind of thought was against science. Physicists like T.D. McCoy and his team are seeking to prove a fourth dimension exists within the known third dimension space. Think about what we have been able to accomplish now that we have built a deeper science on the belief that the world is infinitely more mysterious, more fascinating, and more alive than what humanity has seen so far.
This fascinated me when Dave talked about it.
I got lost a few times, but I got caught up by the end.
The basic concept is that you can see the spirits using this program because you can see their forms. And he showed me some videos and pictures of it, and it was like, holy shnikes. Like, this is This is huge. And what's interesting about it is I went through a period of time where I wanted to be a writer, so I was writing novels. And one of my books that I was writing was actually basically this. And that was really interesting when I was sitting there thinking, I was like, because what the book was, or what the story plot was this young girl found a video that her father had from work of basically a ghost being interrogated, but they couldn't see it in the same room. They had to watch it through a TV screen or like a computer screen, which is basically what this is. You can't see him with your naked eye.
So you had that idea without actually knowing about this?
Yes.
That's crazy.
I had no idea this stuff existed. And so I was like, oh, this is totally awesome.
That's really cool. Yeah, I think it's very fascinating.
And man, if we can like
get one of those.
Like, yeah. But no, I mean, if science got this perfected to where it could be used in situations like that, where you can have a conversation with a spirit and see the other side, we might find out what it is. Because, you know, there's the theory that it's an alien. They're actually aliens, or they're the astral hobos, or this thing, you know, whatever. This could be the path to finding out what it actually is.
What would creep me out, though, is if we took a video of a pasture and then ran that same video, like a clear pasture, no houses, ran that same video through that program, and we saw nothing but fucking people walking, that would scare the living shit out of me.
That'd be awesome.
Well, the reason why it scared the living shit out of me is because I'd be like, I stepped on that guy's toe, that guy's toe, bumped into that. That dude looks pissed. Like,
that tall guy put his dick in. Oh, sorry.
that is exactly what this program they developed is doing.
Well, what you're describing is exactly what this program does.
Okay.
Yeah. Where it looks at the neutrino particles within the film footage, and then it shows these human-like images of people interacting like everyday humans, but they can't be seen by the human eye on the video.
Now, you were talking about neutrinos being able to interact with matter or completely ignore it. That would also even explain the spirit phenomenon of manifesting through walls and through doors. Yeah. And
especially since they don't feel electromagnetism, because what electromagnetism is what holds all the particles together, which keeps you from being able to pass through a wall.
Which would make sense why EMF detectors work in spirit investigations, because they're probably having to pull in electromagnetic fields in order to interact.
Yeah, I mean, they would need electromagnetism in order to react with the environment.
Yeah, so
because it's kind of like, think about like electromagnetism. Think about like a chain link fence. There's a lot of space in between it, just like there's a lot of space between atoms. Mm-hmm. But it's where it's linked together. That's what electromagnetism is. That's where it links those particles together. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that just like two chain link fence can't pass through each other, even though there's plenty of air there because of how it's linked together.
So basically a spirit, in order to manifest or interact with the humans, has to pull in that electromagnetism,
in order to become
solid or interact.
Yeah, in order to become solid matter.
So that explains why EMF detectors would then pick up on those changes in the electromagnetic fields while the ghost is interacting with them.
Yeah.
Scientifically, it almost proves the existence of at least another dimension.
Yeah, something else out there.
So it seems to be like, I know you've heard As Above, So Below.
Great movie, by the way.
With particle physics, it's starting to become as below, so above. Because the more we understand about the universe on the smallest level, the more we come to understand about it on the vastest level.
Yeah.
Instead of the other way around, which is how scientists were approaching it, you know, decades ago.
That stuff just fascinates me. And I really hope that science takes it further. I hope that one day paranormal science is actually taken seriously.
It's getting there.
Like, I definitely see it getting there on a society level, but I await the day that science finally accepts this as an actual science.
Yeah.
You know?
That'd be a really cool degree to get.
Oh, I would totally go back to school to get that degree. Like, screw psychology. I'm going to go and
I'm not
get
sure I'm smart enough for it, but I would give it a shot.
I'd be like, Dave, you want to help me out with my homework?
Yeah. We just all go, hey, Dave, you're going to tutor us.
Then I have to hear about Amy going, God, our tutor saw it.
I want to screw our tutor. Mm.
It's different whenever it comes out from over here, but when it comes in my ear, I'm just like, ugh.
You got any more on that for us, Dave?
No, I mean, just with the neutrinos, they're new to science. They're new to physics. Not a lot's known about them. So that's really where everybody's focus is right now.
It's super cool. I am excited.
And these are the only ones I know of that are looking at it as like on a paranormal level, like on an unexplained phenomena. But I mean, what is science other than explaining unexplained phenomena? Yeah.
We need to get Ghost Hunters because, you know, they're doing that new show. They need to get into this since they're all into the scientific aspect of it. They need to do this. So, Jason Hawes, if you're out there and you listen to our podcast, because why wouldn't you, right? You need to look into this and get this program, and I want to see this on TV soon. Okay? I think that's going to do it for our spirit communications. So, I think we take away that science is getting there. If you want to use a Ouija board, just be careful.
Watch out for Zozo and Crepulette.
And you can do your seances and your pendulums. Just be careful about it, you know. And make sure that you tell any spirits that you are the boss. You are in this plane. This plane is yours. You have control.
It doesn't take a priest or whatever your religion, like, it doesn't take somebody other than you to
take control.
Take control and take command of your house.
Yeah. So, I think that'll do it for this episode. If you want to follow us on the social medias, we are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at UNP Normalcy. And you can always email us at umpnormalcy@gmail.com. We
love you.
We love our listeners. You guys are all awesome.
Check out our Patreon.
Yes, we have a Patreon. Get some bonus content, some extra. If you want to hear Dave's sexy voice more, he's got a lot of.
Not too long ago, we hit over 2,000 listens, and we're creeping up on 3,000.
We are.
So thank you very much for listening.
Yes.
Jeez, guys.
You know, my goal was 50 listeners, and what did it say? 61?
Yeah, but I mean that was weeks ago.
So
I'm looking forward to seeing what it says.
It's exciting.
Tomorrow.
Thank you guys for sharing us with your friends and family. Continue to do that. Yeah, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/UNPNormalcy. And
I was just going to say, if you guys have any stories yourself about anything like this, doing the topic, let us know. Inbox us. If you want to share your story, we can always keep you incognito. Or if you don't mind us using your name, we can do that as well.
Yeah, we need to do a listener stories episode soon.
Yeah,
so
we're rolling
we
up
definitely
on,
need some.
We're rolling up on episode 50.
Yeah.
So we need to do a listener story. If you want to Skype in and tell us your story.
That would be amazing.
I would totally be down for that.
You can either stare at my face, Chad's face, Dave's off limits, or Amy's face. Dave's just too much for the camera, you know? He's just too much of a ball of sexy.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
In fact, we should throw Chad in front of the camera so he can
scare people away.
Get touched.
Oh. I'm a slave for you.
Crapulet.
As he looks at you with this. Never mind. Rub, 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 nipple.
All right. Well, until next time.
Keep digging.
Crapulet.